We're back to the Neil Haley Show, special simulcast with celebrity interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thanks, Neil. How about you, sir?
I'm excited. My guest today, we're going to talk about Raymond Lewis, the L.A. Legend, which premieres theatrically on October 27th in VOD. And Camila, Ray Lewis is here to join us. Camila, thanks for stopping by. And I just love documentaries like this because the fact is you never know stories about basketball, especially people that were almost truly just blackballed that should have been the NBA. It's terrible, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely an untold story. It's been a long time coming, and I'm glad it's coming to fruition now. More people should know about Raymond's story.
Yeah, so what made the idea to do this documentary? On Raymond.
Well, initially it started as a website. You know, he has a lot of fans in the LA area and all around that would just, you know, every so often ask about him and what was going on. They were doing a tribute to him at Verbum Day, which is the high school he attended in Watts in South Central LA. And I met a guy named Dean Prater who thought we should put up a website. And, you know, from there, that's where the idea of just having a website with his stats and a little bit about his story started. From there, about 7 years after that is when we got in contact with Ryan Pawlowski, the director. And that's when the documentary actually started to come to fruition.
Wow. How long did it take you to do the project, like start to finish?
Oh, start to finish. It's been about 7-8 good years with the documentary. Wow. Yeah. That's footage. Amazing. Licensing, it's been a lot. It was very difficult to get this footage. And so we're still looking for one of the games. It was a Long Beach State game. And I think he scored like 73 points and it was televised. And we're still looking for that footage. But yeah, footage was hard.
So how's it hard to get footage? You're talking more about his college career and stuff and different things or the
his high school, college career, rookie camp, and things of that nature. You know, you got to remember this is late 60s, early 70s. You know, it's nowhere near as we have it here today. Some of the footage was actually pulled out of people's garage basements, out of garbage cans. So it was very difficult. We were actually on Dean, another one of the directors, was on microfiche and film, actually looking through hours of footage to find some footage of Raymond.
Wow. Well, what was it like reconnecting with him, like after all this time while you're doing this project? It must have brought up a lot of, you know, emotions and, you know, memories and things. And
yeah, it was. It was extremely emotional. It was also a very healing opportunity for me as his daughter. I was very young. I wasn't born in 73. I was born in 76. So by the time I came along, I knew of Raymond's talent, but not to the extent I know and respect now. So it was a healing process, and it was a labor of love, definitely on my end.
Wow.
Without spoiling the whole documentary, tell us the story that made it such a, you know, a process that was so heartbreaking in the fact of him being blackballed from the NBA in that process. So, because this is stuff that just doesn't come out here. I didn't know this story. And I see again, the stories of Michael Cooper and Jerry Tarkanian, the part of this and interviewing all these amazing people and having the footage. But for a superstar like this that got blackballed by the NBA, how did this happen?
Well, he signed, he was 19 years old. You know, let's all go back to when we were 19. And this guy had to sign a major contract, you know, with Philadelphia at 19. He was basically representing himself. He was reading and combing through a legal jargon and contract ease, you know, and he signed a deal that he thought was good. Once he got to training camp and saw someone else, Doug Collins, was getting paid $1 million. And he felt he was a better player than Doug and he should have gotten that same amount. He wanted to renegotiate his contract. And from there, they never allowed him to play anywhere else. He's made other teams, which you'll see in the documentary. So it's a lot more layered, but that's basically where that started. A 19-year-old signed a bad contract.
And so he played in college for 1 year then. So he was like the situation before the days of the Kevin Garnetts, LeBron James, all of them that left college early, it's a lot more difficult situation where you really aren't backed with guaranteed contracts and stuff, right? Like the way it's now, where if you sign a contract, right, it's not, it wasn't like that in those days. You're a rookie and that's all you are, and there's no guarantees. And if we don't like your reputation or asking for something, we can just say you're never coming back. Compared to now.
Exactly. And he had to play a year. He actually, there was talks of him going pro at Verbum Dei, which was his high school. So he could have, you know, there was talks at that time, but the rule was that he had to play a year of freshman college in order to be eligible to play in the NBA and the ABA, I believe. At that time, there was still the ABA. And so he had to play that year there. He made Cal State LA famous. And, you know, once he entered into the draft, he went first pick, and he signed a contract that he thought was okay, and it ended up not being okay. And that's one of the documents that I'm still to this day trying to get my hands on. They basically owned him after that, and he was never able to play for another team, not overseas, not here, anywhere.
Oh my God. Not even overseas. That's even terrible. Because a lot of players, you saw the ones that got blackballed in the NBA later in the 80s and 90s, I've interviewed, like that were really good players in college. Then they just didn't make it in the NBA, and they made a lot of money overseas and made a really good living for their family and everything. That's terrible. That it got
absolutely. He was actually really good friends with Jellybean Bryant, we know as Kobe Bryant's dad. And he would, you know, wanted my father to come over there and play, and they made plans. And Philly just made sure that he was not able to play. They would threaten to sue whomever would allow him to lace up and play a sport that he had played his entire life and dedicated his entire life to.
Wow. So let me ask you a question on the technical side of putting this thing together. You know, obviously there's a lot of editing that goes in, and like who was involved in like making the decision of what needed to get cut and left on the floor versus getting in the can itself?
Well, Ryan Pilowski, who's the director and editor, and he's been amazing. You know, along the way, we had to get attorneys to look through and see what was fair use. We paid for photographs and for footage that we've had to actually pay for, you know, for licensing purposes. I paid for a photograph that was used of myself. I was 2 in Sports Illustrated, but I had to pay for it because it was owned by someone else. So I've definitely got some bumps and bruises and some lessons along the way of how this thing works.
Wow, that's amazing. Is there anything that was edited out that you wish had stayed in?
Not necessarily. I'm happy with the way things went. There is an interview I wish we could have got, which is Doug Collins. But yeah, I'm very happy with the way things went.
You know, when I think about specifically enough, what if Kobe Bryant was alive? What would he have thought of this? I mean, it's terrible to think about the loss of Kobe and then how your father was good friends with his dad and everything.
Yeah.
Did you know Kobe at all? Or
no, I didn't. I met his father when I was younger, but I didn't know the great Kobe Bryant. Of course, I followed his career. He's one of my favorite basketball players after Magic Johnson. I'm a Lakers fan. So yeah, I didn't get to meet Kobe personally, but I would love to know things like that, what people would think. And how I feel like because of what happened to my father, rules were changed. You know, a lot of his points that he put up were before the 3-point line. A lot of these rules were changed as far as having to play 1 year of freshman college basketball before being eligible for the NBA. Things have changed right after Raymond. So I feel like they dropped the ball with him, but he paved the way for others to get paid what they were worth.
What feedback have you gotten from other NBA players that have seen this and stuff like that? And how's that going so far with the process?
Well, I've gotten excellent feedback from other NBA players. Baron Davis loves Raymond and loves the film, loves the documentary. And has told me, you know, he thought we did an amazing job with it, and didn't know a lot of the ins and outs of what actually happened to him. You know, he kind of grew up chasing he's from LA. So he grew up chasing this ghost of Raymond Lewis, but never really seeing and knowing what happened. So I got good feedback from him and other people that are just fans of the game that have reached out to me and told me what an excellent documentary it is and what they learned and some lessons they learned in it.
Fantastic. Last question for our guest.
Yeah, you know, documentaries are awesome and it's pretty cool, but I could see this would be a super exciting, like, big screen movie. You know, do you think if somebody came up to you and said, you know, said, hey, would you like to make a movie out of this? Would you go for that?
Absolutely. I mean, I always knew my dad was a legend. So shortly, you know, after he passed away, I trademarked and licensed his name and his likeness, because I knew that, I mean, his documentary, it's 80 minutes of what, you know, some meat and potatoes of what happened, but his life story is amazing. And it has a lot of ups and a lot of downs, a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And I think a lot of lessons for people, even in today's today's world and today's NBA world and sports world in general.
I'm a former college basketball player, played basketball, never heard his story. So it's really, I'm blown away because I did not know his story, you know, and I grew up in Pittsburgh. So Connie Hawkins, I played in the Connie Hawkins League. So I know you're familiar who Connie Hawkins is and all these stories. It's just, you're like, I can't believe these things aren't out there. So hopefully it goes to the next level of that, but the documentary is a success. Where can people find info and watch the documentary? Where can they go?
Well, right now it's available for pre-order on iTunes. It's going to be available everywhere. Prime Direct, Plex, Roku, Google Play, Xbox. That'll be available November 1st. It's theatrical release in Beverly Hills at the Lumiere Theater. It's this Thursday at 7 p.m. and it'll be running a week there. So after there, we're going to hopefully get it into some other theatrical releases in like Pittsburgh, up here in the Bay Area where I'm from and stationed at now. So
I'm in Dallas now, by the way. I have a TV show in Pittsburgh, but I'm in Dallas. So
we would love to come to Dallas.
So then go hook up. Definitely reach out to me, Neil Haley, neilhaley.com, and we'll just email me, you know, email me, Neil, and then we'll make a connection. This is what podcasting radio is about. The thing this is, it's all about networking. I'm already working with tons of people involving the NBA. I'm in a collaboration situation. I'm going to be at Radio Row. So I'm just trying different things. You never know these networking opportunities, but I want definitely your father's story to get out there more.
Absolutely, Neil.
We're definitely going to protect it.
I appreciate it. And I think it's a story that, you know, you'll walk away with, and it's history that's lost, and we should always know our history. This is definitely a piece of history.
I love documentaries. I'm watching all the pro wrestling documentaries.
Oh, yes. Because
I was into pro wrestling, and I'm like, I can't believe that, hearing the backstory of things. When I was trying to make it and didn't make it to the final countdown, I saw these stories, and they're amazing. So appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Neil, for having us. Thank you.
Right. Take care. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and also live celebrity interviews live from The Grotto with Greg Hanna. Take care.